Wondershare Video Converter Ultimate makes life easier by providing you with a variety of video tools.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Juju is here with me in my office here in Pike Road. And before I go anywhere with this, I want to say a big thank you again for the time we had with you in February. It was a delightful time for both of us. We felt very welcome. And we left encouraged in the Lord and just thank the Lord for the opportunity, the privilege you gave me to be part of the conference and to do that this morning as well, to have a chance to share with you. Who would have imagined back in February that we would need to do this? I don't think any of us would have dreamed of this kind of a scenario where we would have to sit it like this. But we're glad for the technology that is available. I am technically challenged. And consequently, if I didn't have a wife, I would be in deep trouble. But I'm glad that she is there to help me with all of this stuff. So, but we are doing fine, just so you know. We are numbered among the elderly, whether I like it or not. And that means we need to be careful. So we stay at home and we have grandchildren that do the shopping for us. So we're just trying to be extra cautious in terms of not running around. And we've had to cancel two international trips already, and there's another one scheduled for June, and I believe we'll be canceling that too, because that's the three countries in Asia, and I do not see how we're going to be able to do that quickly. So that's our situation right now. We're just taking it one day at a time and seeing what the Lord has for us. I wonder what to share with you this morning, and the Lord brought to mind one of the verses that's one of my favorite verses. I'm not sure if I could call it a favorite, because I don't know that necessarily there's a favorite scripture, but it's one that's meant a lot to me, that has helped me a lot when I've gone through difficult times and so on. And it's one that all of you are familiar with. I know that. And that's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. And I would like for us to take a look at that verse and the context in which it is found. Philippians chapter 4. And if I was going to put a title on my message this morning, it would be How to Say I Can. I can. Many people today say, I can't anymore. I can't handle this anymore. I can't stay home anymore. My recommendation to us this morning is that we consider together how we as believers can actually say, I can do it, whatever comes my way. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this. Paul is writing. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a wonderful promise that we have from the Lord. We know that the coronavirus has caused incredible challenges. Some of you are feeling it already. You probably have felt it for weeks as it affects your finances, as it affects your connecting with your family, like we have not seen our grandkids for weeks now. So it affects those things and the health concerns as well. And it's tempting to say, I can't handle it anymore. It's tempting to say, I can't help being afraid of getting sick and so on. But I want to encourage us this morning with the fact that as believers, we have a God who is able to do way beyond what we ask or think. And we are able, with God's help, to go through this victorious as believers, because we know the Lord Jesus. So I want to focus on this particular text this morning, and I hope it can be a blessing to us. It was Ironside, Pastor Ironside of Moody Church, who has written a number of commentaries, as most of you know. He said one time, he was talking about what's sharing. He said, if it's new, it's probably not true. And if it's true, it's probably not new. And I think that when it comes to what I'm going to share with you this morning, it's not new, but I believe it's true. Many of us that teach or try to share the word, we have read over the years, and thoughts come back to mind. They're not always new in terms of bringing brand new thoughts, but they are thoughts that have been implanted in our minds maybe years ago, and all of a sudden, like, and that's part of this morning are things that have come to me over a long period of time, actually, some thoughts regarding this particular verse of scripture. I would like for us to think about three things. First of all, it's important to learn to say I can. The second thing is, it is imperative that we say it right. And the third one is, it's impressive to consider the possibilities when we say it right. So first of all, it's important to say I can, instead of I can't. Paul was not bragging. Paul was not boasting when he said that. This is the same Apostle Paul who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, that he served God with integrity and godly sincerity. And I believe when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he said it with integrity and he said it with sincerity. He actually believed what he was saying. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul believed that and he acted on that. And I'm saying that in this day and age when it's so easy for you and me to say, I can't anymore. I mean, I would love to just go out and mingle with people right now. I would love to go to take Judy to a restaurant for a cup of coffee or lunch. I can't do it. But there are others that struggle much, much more. I have no problems, really. We are fine at home. But there are people who come to the place where they feel, I can't do it anymore. And I want to encourage us as believers, we do not have to come to that, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Israelites were outside the promised land. They were about to go in. Moses sends 12 spies, one man from each tribe, into the promised land to survey the situation. And they were in there for 40 days. And they had a particular task. Their mission was a specific one, to assess the possibility of going in. What is this land like? What are the enemies like? And so on. And we know what happened. The 12 come back, and there was a majority report and a minority report. The majority report said, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It has all the things that we thought, but the enemies are humongous. There is no way we will be able to conquer them. We can't go in. Caleb and Joshua said, true, it's a great land with lots of good stuff. It has all the potential for us. But then they added, we can. We are more than able to overcome the enemy. Unfortunately, the people listened to the majority report. Majority, it doesn't speak well, by the way, for democracy. Majority was wrong in this particular case. They didn't listen, and we know the rest of the story. But they were too quick to say, I can't, instead of saying, with God's help, we can. And there are many other illustrations of that. When Jesus was going to feed the 5,000, recorded in several of the Gospels, what did the disciples say? We can. We don't have the wherewithal to do it. And yet, Jesus was able to bless, and there was not just enough food, but there were there were leftovers. And there were times that disciples doubted. They said, we're not going to make it across the lake. They were out in the storm. Jesus asleep in a boat. And he calms the storm. And what does he say to them? He says, where's your faith? He questioned, why did he say that? Because he had told them earlier, let's go across to the other side. They had forgotten God's word. They had forgotten what God had said. The Lord had said to him, we're not going to go out and see if we can make it across. We might make it. No, we are going to the other side. And so my encouragement to us this morning is this, that as we go through this uncertain time, when we don't know how long this is going to last, we have no clue, really, how long we're going to have to live this kind of a lifestyle that we have right now. We hope it'll be over soon. But instead of saying we can make it across, that we take God as his word and say, we can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe it's important for me. And that's a message probably more for me than anybody else, because I'm very quick to say I can't. I can't. I'm not capable of doing that. I'm not capable of doing that. And I need to learn to take that promise that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if it's important to learn to say that and not be so quick to say I can't, it is imperative that I learn to say it right. I'm sitting at home, so I can have a cup of coffee while I'm preaching, okay? Just pretend it's sitting on the platform. Okay. What, it's important that we say it right. What if Paul had just said, I can do all things? He would have been a fool. It would have been stupid of him to say, I can do all things. That is not what he was saying. This is not talking about the power of positive thinking. This is not talking about name it and claim it. In terms of if I just say it, it's going to happen. No, there was something altogether more at stake here. And I believe we see that in that it's imperative that we learn to say it right. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. First of all, he says, it is through Christ who strengthens me. Not strengthened me, who strengthens me. Present tense. Notice what Paul does not say. He doesn't say, I can do all things because I'm a Christian. He doesn't say, I can do all things because I'm a missionary. He doesn't say, I can do all things because I'm an apostle. Nor you can say all things because you're an elder or a deacon or a whatever. Or I can do all things because of the way God has blessed me and helped me in the past. That's not what he's saying. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That implies it's a believer who has connection with the Lord. It also implies a believer, a Christian who is walking with the Lord, who is, John 15, abiding in him. And that's the thought here, that we can say that. There's more to it than that. One of the criteria here is that I'm a Christian and that I am walking with the Lord. 1 John 3:21 says, if our hearts condemn us, don't condemn us, we have confidence in God. If our hearts, that is, there's no break, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior, as the old hymn says, then we can claim this promise. Psalm 60 verse 12 says, through God we shall do valiantly, through God. So my point here is this, that it's important to learn to say I can. It's imperative that I say it right, that I say it that it is only, I can only do it if Christ strengthens me. That is, there's nothing between me and the Lord. If I'm living in sin, this is not a promise for me. If I'm an unbeliever, this is not a promise for that unbeliever. If I am just out of, a broken fellowship with a brother or sister, this is not, because I'm not connected properly with the Lord, if that's the case. But if I meet the criteria where he is able to strengthen me, I'm abiding in a vine, John 15, then I can claim that promise. But something else about it too, saying it right. There's a balance. Notice what it says. I can through Christ. It doesn't say Christ can, though he can. He's omnipotent. He can. But that's not what this verse says. Nor does it say I can, period, do it. No. It is a partnership. It's with the Lord. John 16, verse 7 and 8 says this. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Notice what this says. The Lord is talking to the disciples in that conversation he has in chapter 13 through 16 in John's gospel. He says, it's to your advantage, it's for your benefit that I go away, because when I go, notice what it says, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come to you, he says. But then he says, and I will send him to you. But if I'll send him to you, sorry. When he comes, he says, where? To you, the disciples. He will convict the world of sin and the righteousness of judgment. For a long time, as a young believer, I used to think that that meant that Jesus went back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is now roaming around the world, convicting men of sin and the righteousness of judgment. Yeah, God works in many different ways, but that's not what this verse says. This verse says that when he went, he sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples or to us. And when he has come to us, he will convict the world of sin. That is, through our lives, through our lifestyle and what we say and what we, how we respond to situations like this one, God is able to use that to minister to people. That is what that, it's the same principle of a partnership. Romans 15, verse 18, Paul says, I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says, they came back, Paul and his men came back to the assembly, and they reported all the things that God had done with or through them. And then one more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. What I'm saying there is this, to say I can do all things through Christ, right. It does mean the fact that we need to remember it's through Christ who strengthens us, that power, that fellowship we have with him. But it's a balance. It's not just me and my own strength or Christ apart from me, but he wants to do it through me. One more thing about that promise. He says, I can do all things. What does that mean? Does that mean I can do all I want to do? I don't think so. Now, imagine this. Imagine one of you, I hope that's not the case, but imagine one of you needing open heart surgery. And I hope none of you are in that place right now. But you don't have a good insurance, and you know it's going to not only be a tough challenge medically, but financially it will be a big challenge. But then I come to you, and I said, brother or sister, I can come and do it for you, and I won't charge you a penny for it. And you say, well, are you a doctor? I said, no, I'm not a doctor. Are you a nurse? No, I'm not a nurse either. Actually, when it comes to medicine, I am hopelessly pathetic. Serious. Number one, I don't know anything about it, and I have no interest in it. It's so bad in my case. I take some medicines. I don't even know what they are. Judy gives them to me. I just absolutely don't care about medicine one iota. So when I go to the doctor, if she's not with me, she has to write down what medicine I'm taking because I don't pay any attention to it. So when it comes to medicine, that is not my thing. But imagine I came to you and I said, I will do that for you. And you said, well, Brother Oleg, how can you? You can't do it. You're not a doctor. Well, I said, well, the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't you believe that? Well, how many of you would volunteer? Would any of you give me a chance to do it? I don't think so. None of you would. And you're smart enough not to do that. My point is this, that what does the all mean? Because there are believers who are misusing this, who are saying that because of this, I can claim anything, name it and claim it, right? That's not what this is all about. Let me illustrate it negatively first. In John chapter 15, verse 5, talking about abiding in a vine and so on, he says at the end of verse 5, apart from me, the Lord says, apart from me, I can do nothing. As the Lord Jesus is talking about us walking in fellowship with him. My camera went off here. And can you hear me still?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because I lost my signal or something. I can't see you guys. And so, where was I at here? Apart from me, you can do nothing. There are believers who are walking out of fellowship with the Lord who are doing a lot. And there are unbelievers who are accomplishing a lot. So what does it mean then, apart from me, you can do nothing? Well, I believe it means nothing of eternal consequence. That is, and as far as God's concerned, if it's not of eternal consequence, it's nothing. So nothing does not mean nothing in that sense. And the all here is the same way. It has to be defined in a context of this particular text. This, if it's within the will of God, we can do it. Let me illustrate it with one other verse. Psalm 37, verse 4 says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. There are those who say, well, God is going to give me the desires of my heart. Wow. So I can, whatever I desire, God's going to give it to me. There are people who say, well, that's what the promise is. He has promised to give me the desires of my heart. Yes, he has, but the condition is stated. Delight yourself in the Lord, because if I delight myself in the Lord, the desires of my heart will be to do what he wants. And to me, that is the issue here with the all. It has to do with, you have to read it in that context. So it's important to learn to say I can. It's imperative that I learn to say it right. Let me go to the third thing. It is impressive to consider the possibilities when I learn to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I think, and I would like to do it in terms of just looking at the context itself. And a number of things are said there that we are capable of doing as believers. It's been said that to live a victorious Christian life is not difficult. It is totally impossible without the Lord. And I believe that's true. It's not a matter of being difficult to live a victorious Christian life, even in the context of our time right now. It is totally impossible unless we depend on the Lord. And because we depend on him, we can do those things that are within his will. And the first thing that's listed in our context is the issue of compassion, of loving, as we see in verse 1. That one of the things that I can do, because that's God's will, is to love other people, to love my brothers and sisters in Christ and others as well. Twice in verse 1, he talks about my beloved. And that is one thing we are capable of as believers, as we walk with him, is to love others. John 13, 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Galatians 5, 13 says, through love, serve one another. John 15, 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And maybe you find it difficult loving somebody. There are times I found it difficult to love somebody. Maybe they have offended me. Maybe they have maybe taken something I said out of context and used that to malign me. Maybe they disappoint me because they promised to do something and they didn't. And it's easy for us to start saying, well, I can't love them. I can't love that person. Well, as a believer, I can. If I allow God to strengthen me by his Holy Spirit, I can do it, even the unloving. When Jesus was with the disciples in the upper room and he was going to wash their feet, a sign of service, a sign of, he was demonstrating, he was actually giving them an object lesson before he started the teaching through those chapters. But he gives that object lesson of washing the feet of the disciples. They didn't volunteer to do it. He did it. They were there, all 12 of them. That meant that Judas was there as well. He knew that in a short while, within hours, Judas was going to betray him. And yet Jesus reached out to them, him, and demonstrated his love to him. And to me, that's what this promise is, that God is able to enable me to love those who I maybe don't like necessarily. I may not like their lifestyle. I may not like what they've done in the past. I may not agree with them doctrinally and all the rest of it. But the Word of God says that I am to love them. And that's what I can claim that promise and do it if I allow the Lord to strengthen me. The second thing in a context is not just the thing of being compassionate, but being conciliatory toward those who might be having difficulties. Notice what in verses 2 and 3 in chapter 4, he talks about two women who are not getting along with one another. And women do not have a monopoly on that problem, okay? That happens with men as well. But he says, I urge you, the two ladies, to live in harmony in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. We can be reconciled to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ if we are willing to bow before him, right? Satan's strategy, someone said, the Satan's strategy is to unite what God has divided and to divide what God has united. What do I mean? His strategy is to unite what God has divided. That is, when I was saved out of this world. Physically, I'm still in the world, but I'm not part of the world. I should not be influenced by the values of the world, the priorities of the world. Those are not the things that should govern my life. But the Satan is constantly tempting me and all of us to drift back into the world system, to start living like the world does. He wants us to unite with that world. We're in it, but not of it. But he's also doing the other, that when I got saved, I became a member of the body of Christ. I became a member of all believers, wherever they are, not just those who meet in the assemblies. It's the Baptists, the Presbyterians, or what have you. If they are born again, they are part of the body of Christ. And I am to be reconciled with them. That's what the Lord desired for me. Regardless, it's not a matter of where we go to church. Someone asked me one time, where do you go to church? And I said, I don't go to church. I am the church. I'm part of the church. We are all part of the church. It's not a matter of the building. And we have discovered that now, during these days of the virus, that the church is not the building where we meet. It is us as people being connected to one another. But the Lord desires for us to be conciliatory toward one another. And in this particular case, he says that if these two women are not able to do it, he calls on a brother to help them get reconciled. And what I'm saying to you is this, that one of the things that we can do with this promise in verse 13 is we can be reconciled to one another if there are a breakdown in fellowship. There may be in your assembly a rift between two brothers or two sisters or two families. I want to tell you, God has promised us, if we are both walking with him, we can be conciliatory and be recognized. So often, we have difficulty when we know we think we're right. I love the way that Peter Marshall, I believe he was a chaplain of the U.S. Senate way back. I can't remember when it was, but it's a prayer that he had that I kind of like. He said, he prayed this, Lord, when I'm wrong, make me easy to change. And when I'm right, make me easy to live with. And I believe that is profound. That when I am wrong, make me easy to change. Am I willing to do that? Well, what about when I'm right? Or do I become so arrogant in my rightness that I, again, break fellowship? It's a good prayer for us. So that's one thing we can do as well. Thirdly, we can be cheerful. We can be cheerful. Verse 4 speaks of joy. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, always, even during the virus situation. Rejoice in the Lord when you're stuck at home. And in 1 John 1:4, John writes, these things I write to you that our joy may be complete. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. we can be joyful. Yes, staying at home. Yes, being stuck at home, if you will. I don't even like to call it being stuck at home, because it is such a privilege to be able to do what we are doing and to do the extra things that we have never had time to do. But you know something? Paul was on lockdown. He was. He was in prison in, how much time do I have? 5 minutes? Okay. He was in lockdown in Rome. And he could say that what happened to him, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it served to advance the gospel. And in prison, in Acts chapter 16, what did he and Silas do? They were on lockdown. They were stuck, not at home, but in a prison, much more uncomfortable than our situation today. They were singing praises to the Lord. And to me, that's what the Lord desires for us to do, that in the midst of this time, to be cheerful. I hope you are at home and you're happy, okay? I hope you're not just looking at the negatives, but you're finding joy in the Lord in the middle of the situation of being contained. John writes, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And think of the example of in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, about those believers who joyfully accepted the confiscation of their property because they knew they had a better and lasting possession in heaven. They joyfully accepted their condition because they knew who they believed in. And so there's more here, because it talks about being gentle with one another. It talks about being calm, having peace. It talks about our thought life, and it talks about being content. But I believe in all of these cases here, in this context, we can, because these are within the framework of God's will and God's plan for my life. And I trust that your time at home, I hope it won't be too long for any of us, when you enjoy your good cup of coffee. And I ordered a certain kind of coffee after I had been there that I'm nowadays drinking because I like it. I think you know what coffee that is. That even when you're at home, stuck just with a cup of coffee and it can't go out, that you can still find great joy in the Lord. Remember the saying, some people bring joy wherever they go, others bring joy when they go. Don't be the kind that brings joy when they go. Be the kind that brings joy wherever they go. So thank you again for the opportunity, David, and the rest of you. You've given me to share the word with you. And we pray that God will continue to bless you. Thank you for the encouragement you are to us. Amen.